And then she could see. She stood on a desolate mountaintop. It wasn't cold and it wasn't hot. There was only the sensation of the wind. Fog blew in from what she believed to be the east, covering over the sun just now borning from the bloody rim of the world. It was thick and grayish purple, the color of old bruises. Movement stirred within the depths of the fog. Incredibly, Florin stepped into view, less than 10 feet from Christy. Whereas Christy stood on the uneven terrain of the mountaintop, her boots rocking as the wind tore at her, Florin wasn't affected at all by the wind. And she stood on a wisp of fog, her sandaled feet never touching the ground. She wore a long green gown with intricate embroidery on it.
Get away from me!
Christy looked down, only to see the sheer face of the mountain spill away just below her boots. She felt the woman inside her head.
There is no escaping me. You have become my vessel, and you will do what I wish.
No!
You have no choice, just as your man gave me none. Succeed or die. And that is the choice I put before you, Christy Roth. You will do as I need you to do, or I will kill you.
I don't believe you.
Then I'll make a believer of you.
Before Christy could take another breath, her heart stopped. She listened to the loud silence, where the sound of rushing blood had once been, always taken for granted. Hearing Christy's screams, Dean instinctively went to ground. He dropped flat against more accumulated dog turds. Thankfully, his sense of smell seemed to have deserted him. He ignored the caked feces on his face and body and squirmed around to try to go back the way he'd come. Jack stopped him, his pale albino face, corpse white in the dim light provided by the lantern.
What the hell are you doing?
Not going back.
That was Christy screaming!
If she's chilled, what good you do back there?
She's not chilled! She may need help!
Best help we find is at the other end of the tunnel. We stop back and they coming. No good to anybody. I'll get chilled.
Reluctantly, Dean saw the wisdom in his friend's words. He made himself relax and turn, his knees mashing through the offal beneath him. His back and shoulder ached from holding up the lantern, but he forced himself to keep it up. He kept crawling, following the twist of the tunnel around. In the distance, he thought he spotted a rectangle of daylight.
Christy's not breathing!
Ryan registered Mildred's words, watching as the physician slipped her hand under the back of the redhead's neck, tilting Christy's head back. A bullet slammed into the door beside Elmore's head. Elmore stood frozen, seemingly stunned by the events taking place.
Fire blast! Move it, Elmore!
Ryan stepped forward and grabbed the back of Elmore's shirt and jacket. He yanked, pulling hard enough to throw himself and the man onto the floor.
Night, that was close.
Doc, JB, watch Elmore!
Ryan left Elmore where he lay. Crossing the floor in two long strides, Ryan dropped to his knees beside Christy. Mildred worked frantically, hooking a finger and running it down Christy's throat.
What's wrong?
I don't know. She acted like she had a seizure of some kind, then keeled over. But there's no obstruction. As far as I can tell, the airway's open.
Then why isn't she breathing?
There's no reason for her not to be that I can see. You hear me, Christy? There's no excuse I'm taking from you for you not breathing. You're going to breathe! Ryan, I need you to do CPR while I breathe for her.
Ryan stared into his lover's eyes. They were both open, pools of green, gazing emptily up at the ceiling.
We haven't lost her yet, Ryan. You hear me?
I hear you. Get on with it.
Ryan straddled Christy and placed his hands together over her heart, measuring with his fingers the proper distance along her breastbone. CPR wasn't anything new to him. He'd been taught by Trader while on Warwag 1. Ryan pushed against Christy's diaphragm, willing his lover to start breathing again.
It's that fucking witch!
The bitch is dead!
They've got two kinds of dead, from what I've been told.
And who told you?
A man named Donovan.
Ryan, do it!
Good.
Who's Donovan?
Project leader I work for at the Heimdall Foundation. He knows about the Chosen, studied them a lot. His mother was a breeder, and one of the children they stole away. She managed to escape before she died, had Donovan in a vill, and managed to live out her life. He doesn't have any love for them, that's for sure. But he knows they know things that most people don't know.
What happened?
The Chosen have a way with those powers of theirs. They can swap memories with each other.
My dear chap, would you have us believe that these women are able to do that through some clairvoyant talent?
I don't know about that. I'm not even sure what clairvoyance means. But I know what I've been told. And Donovan told me he'd seen it done. That he came upon a dying Chosen who was performing some kind of ritual with a young Chosen.
Incredible.
Ain't the half of it. Got lots of stories about the Chosen, and Donovan told me the truth was even more unbelievable.
Mildred pulled back from Christie's face, her own features stained with perspiration.
It's okay. Christie's breathing on her own again.
Beneath his fingertips, Ryan felt the flutter of his lover's heart. As that registered, her eyes pulled down to his, focusing with effort.
Lover.
What happened?
They're moving out there, trying to fan out to get a position on the front door. If they have a couple of grins, they could come knocking real hard.
Ryan knew that, and his mind raced with the possibilities and problems. Survival was first and foremost, but that meant Christie's survival too. And at the moment, that appeared tied to Elmore.
Florin's still inside my head, Ryan. She was talking to me. She made me go blind here, then stopped my heart just to show me she could. We've got to get her out of there.
We will. Fear touched Ryan. He didn't have the first idea how they were going to do that. Can you move?
I'll manage.
Good enough. Elmore, you got any ideas to the purpose of this memory transfer?
The Chosen have broken down into two groups. Donovan could tell you more, but I can tell you that. This woman was one of their scouts, an explorer. That beaded pack with all the designs on it told me that. The explorers don't travel back to their ville very often. They aren't allowed to. They get sent out to find what they can and make sure the information gets back to the others.
Ryan joined JB at the window. He took advantage of the cover the window frame offered and scanned the area. Naylor's men were in motion, but there were few places for them to go.
I asked Donovan about it once. He told me that if another Chosen comes upon a dead one soon enough, even within a few hours, they can still force a transfer.
Then what happens?
You mean, what do they do with the information? Take it back to the others, I guess. You'd have to talk to Donovan about the rest of it.
He knows about things like this?
Only person I know of that would. And finding Donovan ain't easy.
I saw a map once with Heimdall Foundation marked on it. A few days west of here, traveling by foot.
He won't be there.
Well, where will he be?
Elmore hesitated.
I said, where's Donovan?
It's spring. So he'll more than likely be up in the mountains, making sure of the water supply to the Foundation. Takes a lot of water to run things there.
And if we get you out of here, you can take us to Donovan?
Hell yes.
You try to fuck around with me, I'll chew you then and there.
Hey, Carter!
I'm here!
We can still deal!
Yeah? Well, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of shy on trust at this end.
One of my men got jumpy. He didn't mean nothing by it. Now what about the man I want?
I'll make you another deal, since you seem so keen on changing the one I thought we had. You trot out the man who fired that shot. Then I want you to execute him in front of me.
What?
You heard me. Call it a show of faith.
You know, he might not feel so bad about chilling some poor bastard who's already wounded or dead. Stake him out there, shoot him a couple of times, make it look good.
Let him. Every minute we get here gives Jack and Dean that much more time to get to the other end of that tunnel.
You can't be serious, Carter.
Serious as a heart attack. You don't want to chill him yourself? Get him to that clearing and I'll chill him for you.
Ryan lined up the stire, gazing through the scope, and sifting through the shadows, he spotted Naylor's approximate position.
I can't do that!
That's too fucking bad! Because you're not getting the man without doing it!
Don't take the high hand with me, Carter! I've been looking at that building, noticing how much wood is in it. If you don't get burned to death in a fire, you'll at least be smoked out. Give me the man and I'll make sure you get out of here alive!
Maybe there's something you haven't been considering. You walked into this situation and ended up between my people and the Coldhearts. What makes you so sure you can just walk right back out of here when you get ready?
What the hell are you talking about?
Turn your back on me, and I'll chill you and your people every time I get a shot. I figure my chances here look way better with you trapped over there. The Coldhearts waiting to pick up the pieces won't be quite so anxious to come back in here.
You're a triple stoop!
I don't see the Coldhearts charging in here. And I don't think it's because of the number of people I got holed up in here with me.
Ryan put the Stire's crosshairs over the first of the two men he'd spotted. Only a sliver of the man's face was visible behind the wag wreckage where he took cover. The second man was attempting to scale the wags, avoiding the pockets of acid rain left in the dents of the rusted metal. The first tech man flew backward, his brain pan emptied in a violent gush over the men behind him. The second sec man stretched out atop one of the ruined wags, his flesh sizzling in the pool of acid rain gathered on top.
Stop firing! Stop your bastard firing, or I'll shoot the next man pulls the trigger myself!
Hey, Nailer! Here's something else to think about. We sit here chilling each other. Those cold hearts out there may decide to pitch in and help.
You saying we can trust each other?
Maybe a little more than before. At least this way you know we aren't going to hesitate or back down.
You're a hard fucking man.
You haven't seen hard yet. We end up stuck here past sunset, and you haven't made up your mind? I intend to find out how good you men are in the dark. Of course, me and my people will only be a few predators out there among a bunch of others. You spotted all those skeletons out there, didn't you? The Coldhearts look like they've been feeding on human flesh when they had to. And they don't look to have been too particular about disposing of the leftovers. You can bet this place turns into a regular feed lot at night. And this close to red blasted areas, a lot of those night feeders are going to be muties. Maybe some you haven't seen before.